Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Thursday, February 2nd in Hong Kong, Wednesday, February 1st in New York. And coming up this hour,
Chair Jay Powell says the Fed has made progress in fighting inflation, but he is warning more rate hikes are still needed.
Meta reports better than expected sales as Facebook gains more users.
And Adani Enterprises will not go ahead with its record $2.4 billion share sale.
McCarthy says he feels he and the president can find common ground on the debt ceiling. Former U.S. Defense Secretary says plan for a real possibility of conflict with China. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
Manchester United moves one step closer to its first trophy since 2017. I'm Dan Schwartzman. I'll have that story and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. The Fed slowed its drive to rein in inflation, policymakers lifting the Fed's target for the benchmark rate by 25 basis points to a range of 4.5% to 4.75%. The smaller move followed a half-point increase back in December and four jumbo-sized 75 basis point hikes prior to that. The Fed noted that inflation has eased somewhat but remains elevated. After the decision, Chair Jay Powell was asked whether he was worried about the recent market rally creating easier financial conditions that could hamper his fight against inflation. He chose not to push back hard.
It is important that overall financial conditions continue to reflect the policy restraint that we're putting in place in order to bring inflation down to 2%. And of course, financial conditions have tightened very significantly over the past year. I would say that our focus is not on short-term moves, but on sustained changes to broader financial conditions. And it is our judgment that we're not yet at a sufficiently restrictive policy stance, which is why we say that we expect ongoing hikes will be appropriate.
Powell added that it's gratifying to see the disinflationary process now getting underway. But he said that officials would need substantially more evidence that inflation was on a sustained downward path before they could declare victory.
Very interesting that he chose to use the word disinflation a number of times today. And I think, Brian, to be fair, if you take a broader view, you'll see that financial conditions are notably tighter than they were about a year ago. Now, the chairman may have intended to emphasize the need to do a lot more when it comes to taming inflation, but as we indicated earlier, markets today simply weren't buying it. Here is BlackRock's Jeff Rosenberg.
There's a real disconnect between, you know, what he said, what the statement said, maybe what he wanted to say and what the markets heard. But what the markets heard was this issue of the conflict between financial conditions easing and whether or not that would impact the Fed's policymaking. He dismissed it.
So let's be polite then. I think it's fair to say that markets are doubting the Fed's projections. Fed funds now see the Fed only getting to 5% insofar as a terminal rate. And then, here's the interesting thing, cutting by 50 basis points between now and the end of the year. On the other hand, the Fed thinks it can get to a rate of around 5.25% and then hold it there through the remainder of 2023.
To some corporate news, Meta Platforms reporting better than expected sales during the holiday quarter. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Meta saw strong demand for advertising as it attracted more users to its Facebook social network. It said revenue for the fourth quarter was $32.2 billion. That compared with Wall Street estimates of $31.6 billion. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said Meta is making progress with its investments in artificial intelligence, particularly for improving the videos it shows users on Facebook and Instagram. The company is recovering from the worst year for its stock in history. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
All right, Charlie, so it's all about earnings. We get that. Today, Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson was saying investors could see several more quarters of disappointing results. And he told us the first quarter is where we could see an acceleration.
Earnings are disappointing everywhere, okay? This is one of the worst streaks in earnings we've seen in quite a while. And people are now saying, oh, it's better than feared and this, that, and the other. That's like saying a tornado ripped through your house and saying, oh, well, it only knocked out the bedroom. I mean, the earnings are bad. And you need to be honest about that. And you need to say, do I really want to own a company where the margins are degrading like this? And I don't really know where the bottom is yet. I'm just going to trust that it's going to get better. That's not a great investment philosophy in our view, particularly given where valuations are now.
All right. So what do earnings mean for the overall market? Well, think back. S&P 500 was up more than 6% in the month of January, and Wilson is essentially saying that people were lured into believing reality is different than what it is. He also compared last month's move to the beginning of 2001, when the market also saw a re-rating of tech stocks.
You know, Doug, I think that the Fed chief was not really dovish today, in so much as I think he was less hawkish than what people had feared. And he did actually talk about a soft landing. He hasn't really talked that much about it. He's only talked about conquering inflation. And yes, he did not scold markets because financial conditions have eased a little bit. And actually, what you said is true. He did say that financial conditions were tougher now than they were a year ago. He even said they're not much easier than at the time of the last Fed meeting. Now, the consensus is, wow, stocks have been running higher. But the S&P 500 right now is almost where it was 2 months ago in December, around 4,100. So, yes, we had a big fall in December, and then we had a big rise in January. But net-net, we're almost at the same level.
And I think the other point of contention between what the Fed is saying and what the market is indicating is that rate cuts are on the table between, let's say, before the end of the year. Powell seemed to push back against that notion pretty aggressively today. Although, if the economy were to somehow collapse or kind of move into a recession that was so deep, maybe the Fed wouldn't have a choice but to do that.
Yeah, he said they're data dependent, and I think everybody believes it now. We've got a lot more ahead. We'll be talking about this with Chris Constantinos coming up from Riverfront Investment, and a little bit more time to flesh out exactly where the Fed's head is at the moment. Time for global news. U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he feels his first budget meeting with President Joe Biden was very positive. Ed Baxter has global news in the 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Ed?
Yeah, exactly right, Brian. McCarthy says he and the president found areas of agreement as well as disagreement in their first meeting today regarding the debt ceiling and the budget.
I can see where we can find common ground. I think the American public would appreciate that. And we, look, I've been very clear. The current path we're on, we cannot sustain. We got to change the directory to put ourselves on a path to balance. How we get there will be our discussions.
Now, White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says a position on raising the debt ceiling is very clear.
We see this as a constitutional obligation that Congress has to act.
Yeah, so at least they've had their first discussion. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield is calling for an overhaul of the Security Council in the U.N. to blunt Moscow's impact. Exclusively here on Bloomberg, Greenfield said the body has been able to move power outside the council to accomplish a number of things.
One, an overwhelming vote condemning their annexations or attempted annexations in Ukraine. We kicked them off of the U.N. Human Rights Commission, and we're continuing to put pressure on them and isolate them in New York.
Meanwhile, the U.S. says it will supply Ukraine with longer-range artillery ammunition as part of a new $2 billion package of military assistance. And Greenfield also commented briefly on China and human rights, saying that it is exerting inordinate pressure on human rights discussions among nations. Former U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the U.S., along with Taiwan, need to prepare for the real possibility of war with China. Esper on Bloomberg's Balance of Power says Taiwan is already started working on ground defenses.
We want to avoid a fight with China for all kinds of reasons, military, economic, political, and so on. But if it comes to that, then we need to have folks on the ground. The Taiwanese need to stockpile their goods because the West will not be able to resupply them like we've been able to with Ukraine.
Esper says China's been watching what is going on in Ukraine very carefully. And the football goat, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, is retired again. He says, for now, for good. So monetarily, he doesn't need any pity parties if you're thinking about planning one. Bloomberg's Scarlett Fu says $375 million with Fox.
It's over 10 years, and they've been waiting for him because it was signed after his first retirement, and you know, it's for whenever he decides to stop playing. But what's interesting about that deal is it's more money than he's made playing football. Wow. So he's going to be the highest paid sports broadcaster, maybe the highest paid broadcaster, period.
Scarlett says that he'll be in constant focus on Fox all the way through the season, so next year. So we won't get tired of him, right? In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter. Global News, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. This is Bloomberg.
The Capital Ideas Podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat. And our guest is Chris Constantinos, Chief Investment Strategist at Riverfront Investment Group. So, Chris, the Fed chief talked about disinflation in goods, that it's real. He talked about seeing disinflation likely to be coming in housing services, but none yet in core services, ex housing. And what he's talking about there is basically wages. But it was good because he's talking about a soft landing. Your general impression from what you got today from the Fed and the chief?
Yeah, sure. And by the way, thanks, guys, for having me today. Yeah, I think my take on the Fed today, the general read was a little bit of a dovish surprise, maybe. I think for two reasons, and you mentioned earlier on the program quite rightfully. The first one is, you know, his quote around our focus is not on short-term moves, but on sustained changes to financial conditions. You know, the markets started to rip not long after that because it sounded to listeners like Powell was kind of shrugging off the risks of that financial conditions tightening we've talked about. The second thing, maybe more important, was, you know, your reference to his use of the word disinflationary and this disinflationary process. So, you know, you could view that as dovish, but I think there's also potentially a third read here, which is that, you know, the markets may have misunderstood him a little bit, because we've seen this happen to Fed chairmen before, and we've seen it happen to Powell before, where, you know, he's tried to communicate a message and markets heard what they wanted to hear. And then usually over the next 48 hours, markets kind of sort back through the statements. And then, of course, a bunch of other Fed governors come out and kind of get trotted out to help massage the message, and the markets get their head around it. One thing I'm pretty sure of is that Powell doesn't want to be known as the Fed chair who allowed inflation to become ingrained. And so I still think he's trying to walk that tightrope, and I think he's going to eventually err on the side of being, you know, maybe over-tightening versus under-tightening.
Chris, I mean, isn't this also a situation where, you know, the markets just don't want to believe him in some ways? And, you know, the thing is probably better to get your desired result by misleading them. I mean, could you argue that the Fed is perhaps done raising rates and it wants to keep, it just wants people out there to believe otherwise?
That's an interesting theory. It's certainly sort of a three-dimensional chess match, if you will. But I don't know. I mean, I think the modern Fed has tried to be as transparent as possible. I think back in the Greenspan days and earlier, there was, you know, three- and four-dimensional chess going on with what they said and didn't say. But I think the modern Fed, or this Fed, is trying to be as transparent as they can. But you can only be so transparent in a, you know, a short presser, right?
Many investors would see him as still hawkish, because even though he talked about the disinflation in goods and that disinflation was coming in housing services, he said that's less than 50% of the total. The other 50%, no disinflation. And so that means that they will stay vigilant.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the bugaboo here is going to come down to wages, right? For most small and medium-sized businesses in America, that is their number one cost input. And you know, and this is the place where I think businesses have struggled, because wages, particularly on the lower end, you know, demand for workers is so dramatic still in those areas that, you know, it's a big constraint for businesses. So, you know, the data I like to track, you know, the NFIB has a propensity to raise wages survey that they've been putting on for decades now. And that's data that here at Riverfront we like to track. You know, that has moderated a little bit recently, but it's still really, really high relative to history. And that suggests to me that wages are going to remain, you know, pretty sticky for the time being.
So tell us, Chris, how you at the moment trade the market. I think that you have something called Patty, and it's not a woman.
Correct. Yeah, that's thanks for bringing that up. That's the acronym that I've been using to try to communicate that I think we're in a new era. If the old era was of stock investing was, you know, own as much growth stocks as you can stand and then buy more, you know, TINA, there is no alternative to growth stocks in a very, very low nominal growth, low interest rate environment. I think the new era is PATTY, which stands for pay attention to the yield. I think for the next foreseeable future, and I think this could be with us for years to come, a little bit like the 1970s, I think that investors are going to get a fair amount of their total return in stocks and fixed income from the compounding of the yield, and not so much from betting that, yeah, you know, that valuation multiples are going to go higher. And so I think in this era, you want to focus on business models that generate cash flow and tend to consistently return those to shareholders and bondholders.
So Meta jumped almost 20% after hours. Part of that was the stronger sales. Part of it's the buyback. Which one is more important?
Great question. You know, my compliance department doesn't like me to talk about individual stocks, but I will talk about the internet sector as a whole. And I think my personal view on this is I think the market is laser focused on top line growth here. Because, you know, financial engineering tends to get a lower multiple, but if you can generate higher revenue, which has been an issue for many of these types of companies.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.